Rachel Goddard, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
Kia ora, Craig.
There you are in Raglan, just down the road, but a few problems with the car today.
Yes, and the phone by the sounds of it.
Yeah, phone problems this end and, yeah, problems that end. But never mind, here we are. And I guess, firstly, Rachel, I guess tell us a little bit about yourself. And you're obviously interested in climate change, and how did you sort of get an interest in that kind of thing?
Okay, well, I guess if we go right back maybe 30 years ago, I was at university studying ecology and environmental science, and it sort of morphed, I guess, a lot later into climate change. 30 years ago, we didn't really talk about climate change. It was more sustainability, and even then it was a bit of a sort of greeny, hippie word. It's now more mainstream, and I studied at university for 8 years and then set up a consultancy and had a number of jobs, and then more recently, I was at the university heading sustainability there, and now I am at Waikato District Council as their senior advisor for climate action.
Yeah, I mean, is that the first council role in the country like that? Do you know?
No, it's not. A couple of councils already have climate advisors. Some of them don't at all, and obviously it's a key role. It goes across so many different areas. It's a very broad job, as you can imagine. There's so many different facets to it, from risk to hazard, coastal hazards, erosion, strategy, there's infrastructure, there's education, behaviour change, planning, tracking, benchmarking. It's a very, very broad role. Most councils should have that position. Like I said, some do and some don't. But it's becoming more pivotal, I think, with the moves with the government, with the emissions reduction plan and the carbon neutral program, our commitments internationally with the IPCC, with the COP26 and the IPCC report. So it's it's happening. I mean, we can see it's happening now. So it's time that we adapt and try and mitigate what we're doing.
Yeah, and you've only been in the role not very long, have you?
No, at council, I've been here about 8 months.
Okay.
Already getting a lot of traction. Council are very committed to climate change, which is great. So we're developing.
Yeah, that's good
strategies.
To hear because, I could see it easily being a token position, but if they're actually, committed to it, that's great. Yeah. And I know the budget just came out and it was kind of called the climate change budget. I mean, have you had time to have a good look at that, and what does that kind of mean?
Yeah, I have. I wrote a summary on it on LinkedIn. If you're interested, you can nip on there and have a look at it. My views, personal views, it's a really good first start, considering it was cross-party collaboration. We've covered a lot of aspects from, behaviour change to having multi-lens and consideration, working with iwi. It covers waste, water, energy, agriculture, travel. But in terms of if it will be achieved, if it will reduce our emissions in time, that is not clear, and the targets are not clear. So I'm not sure how we're going to achieve that. But it's a good first start.
And I guess, I know I've been reading a bit of sort of commentary about it, and a lot of people are saying, oh, man, why aren't the, agriculture in particular paying straight away? But I know they set aside a few million for like an agri kind of hub kind of thing. Do you know much about that?
I've read a number of articles and comments, and some people think that the agriculture sector has been let off lightly because they're not part of the emissions trading scheme. And in New Zealand, agriculture is almost 50% of our emissions. In fact, even in the Waikato region, our emission for that sector is almost 70%. So it's a lot higher. It's a really difficult one because you've got that tension between, agriculture being the backbone of the economy, excuse the pun, especially in the Waikato region, and then on the flip side, being one of the most, highest contributing, greenhouse gas emission sectors. So in terms of, I think it's like 68.5% for the Waikato region from agriculture, but it's 56% of methane within that number, and it's the methane that's more damaging. So over 85-year period, over a 20-year period, methane's about 85 times stronger, and that's the area that we're having to tackle, and we deal with that separately. So I don't know, to answer your question, I don't know about the centre, but, I mean, we have to look at ways of changing how we farm, and that's not easy for farmers, and I completely understand and support that difficulty. But I guess the fact is we know our climate's changing. We know we're having more, you know, extreme events in terms of flooding and storm and drought. We know the last 10 years was the hottest on record. And as a consequence, you know, productivity drops on farms as well. So people make that connection. And I'm not here to debate why it's happening. We just, you know, we know it is. So it's like having, you know, what can we do about it? How can we address that? You know, can we look more at mixed crops or regen? You know, is this new ag research centre going to be around, you know, addressing the microbes in the gut of ruminants that are causing the methane? You know, there's all sorts of options to look at, but, you know, we will have to look at transitioning or looking at some changes or means to mitigate and adapt.
Yeah, for sure. And methane's it's an interesting one because it's a lot of people say, oh, methane, you know, it's only short-lived, don't worry about it, and, you know, it disappears really quickly. But a 20-year period's actually a lot longer than I actually thought it was, to be honest.
Yeah, it's got huge warming potential. It's much, much stronger than CO2. We all focus on CO2. We always say, oh, carbon emissions. It's like, well, we should really say greenhouse gas emissions because there's lots of other gases that, yeah, even water vapor is a greenhouse gas. Nitrous oxide, there's all sorts of greenhouse gases, but carbon dioxide is one of the main ones. Methane, there's a smaller amount of it released, but it's got much, much stronger warming potential. So when those molecules of methane go up into the atmosphere, they trap the sunlight, and it sort of shakes up the molecules, and they grab onto the light, and then they sometimes release it and reflect it back into Earth, I guess, and that's helping to warm up the planet.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, agriculture for sure in New Zealand is a big thing, and yeah, like you say, especially in the Waikato. And I know there's a lot of initiatives underway at the moment. Do they come across your desk, like trying to change? There's a lot of research being done on plantain, for example, as to whether that as a feed for stock actually reduces methane, and there's lots of bolus technologies out there now which sit in the animal stomachs and things like that. Do you get to see all these initiatives kind of happening in your role?
Not particularly in my role. I try and keep up to date, obviously, with all the latest literature and research. So I have 30 years working in the sustainability sector, but agriculture is not my area per se, but I'm very interested to see what's happening. You know, there's a lot of research going into plant-based products, precision fermentation, where they're taking the bacteria that's already existing that mimics bacteria that live in, you know, the guts of cows to make products that taste or look and feel like meat or milk, but they're not. They're actually plant-based or bacteria that are similar to the ones that are in the gut of cows and animals like that. So there's so much work going on in the technology, but I think it will take a collective fix. I don't think one area, I don't think technology by itself will fix everything. I think it's going to take a collective concerted effort by people, you know, around behavior change, around, you know, trying new things, because we don't actually have a lot of time. I don't know if you've read the research around, you know, the IPCC report. You know, scientists say that 1.5 degrees Celsius is the maximum that we can go to before things are going to start getting pretty desperate on the planet. And right now we're tracking to 2.5, maybe 3 degrees. So, you know, that 1.5 degrees threshold will be breached probably in the next decade. So things are going to get a lot worse for us in terms of, you know, more severe storms. So perhaps, you know, a storm, severe, you know, extreme weather event or storm or flooding that might have occurred every 100 years will now be occurring maybe every 10 or 15 years. So, you know, we're seeing the effects of that already, and the billions that it might cost us if we have to retreat or, you know, adapt to that rapidly moving change.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because in the last, 3 years, it's been, you know, really dry for 3 years in a row, pretty much. I mean, and the water table must be getting incredibly low in the Waikato, I'd imagine. And, and even, like, the May just gone, it was such a, you know, it felt like more like March than May, you know. It was just really dry. And, it just made me think, I wonder if people who was kind of in the mindset of, oh, well, nah, it's a load of rubbish, climate change, blah, 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 I wonder if that'll kind of change their minds about that. I often think to myself, you know.
Well, we know that it's happening, so we're not debating it anymore. Like, we know things are changing. The weather's changing. Like you say, it's warm. I mean, I've got birds nesting on my property right now. It's really wrong. They think it's warm. You know, there's lots of flies and mosquitoes around. So you know, things are changing, and we know that. And, you know, I guess the debate has probably been, is it from fossil fuels and is it human-induced? Some people still debate that. The scientists, 99% of scientists will say it is human-induced. If you look at the last, maybe 100 years in New Zealand, you know, the temperature's risen about 1.2 degrees, and during that time, that's coincided with sea level rise, which is about 20 centimetres. So if you can imagine standing on a beach and that water, you know, is lapping around your toes 100 years ago, it's now almost up to your knees. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. And it's the same with the degree increase as well. There's a whopping difference between 1.5 degrees Celsius increase in temperature and 2 degrees increase in temperature. So, you know, we're going to see things like more disease, more insects, more flooding, obviously, will be a weather event. And then there's going to be some other sort of stranger implications, like, the ocean is a great sink or an absorber of CO2. So as more CO2 goes into the ocean, it's going to get more acidic. And as it gets more acidic, you're going to get shells and coral that will start to pretty much leach calcium carbonate from the shell, so the shells will start to collapse. So you're going to get all these strange effects in trophic webs, you know, like in food systems, and also for us, the implications for us will be big as well, obviously, in terms of food, in terms of disease, in terms of health. So there's going to be all sorts of impacts. So it's not just an environmental impact, it's, you know, social and economic. It's going to cost us billions of dollars, and it's going to actually cost us more money if we don't act than if we do act significantly. So, you know, like talking about stepping up now.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, bringing it back to kind of agriculture as well, I know the fall army worm was recently only just discovered over here in Tauranga, and now it's kind of getting throughout the Waikato, and they're kind of hoping it would probably die out over the winter if it got really cold. But if it stays like this, it won't, and then that's going to devastate a lot of the maize crops and things like that around the country. So it's going to have, it's going to impact sort of everyone, you know, every farmer, every person, really, isn't it?
Yep. That's just one example.
Yeah. And
so many things, species decline, shift in, I guess, species range, some trees will die, some will adapt. But, it's quite extraordinary, all the run-on effects. The New Zealand government has committed internationally at COP26, the UN conference last year, to reducing CO2 by 50% by 2030. So that's triggered, well, partially the emissions reduction plan and other legislation and programs that they're putting in place. And they're amending the Resource Management Act as well, so that there'll be a climate action sort of act. And there'll be other, I'm trying to think of the other ones now, National Adaptation Plan, and there's another one I can't quite recall right now. So, you know, things are coming. But I think it's not just a top-down approach. It's, you know, it's bottom-up and top-down, and we meet in the middle, because we just can't, you know, do everything at one end or the other. We need to do it collectively.
And let's have a look at solutions here, Rachel. I mean, what are some of the solutions you see, especially in the Waikato, say?
In terms of agriculture?
Well, agriculture and just climate change in general, how, you know, what can we actually do about it, you know?
Yeah. So I said earlier, agriculture is like 48 to 50% of our emissions in New Zealand, and it's much, much higher in the Waikato. It's almost 70%. because agriculture is the backbone of the economy. So that's a really, really difficult one to address. You know, some farmers are looking at regen agriculture. You know, some are looking at soil, because soil is the second largest sink or capturer of carbon after the ocean. So it's like looking after our soils, you know, avoiding erosion. It's about tree planting. Maybe start diversifying, you know, with your crops or your stock, because it's like putting all your eggs in one basket. You don't know what's going to happen in terms of, you know, disease. So mixed crop is good. In terms of travel, travel is the next highest one, energy and travel. That's nearly 40%. So, you know, looking at EVs, looking at carpooling, you know, public transport, you know, reducing flying, which that's been easy in the last couple of years with COVID. But, yeah, and then there's, you know, there's easier personal actions on the ground, like simple things, you know, like trying not to buy too much plastic, trying not to buy too much stuff, buying things that are durable, that will last longer, getting rechargeable batteries, taking a cloth bag shopping, just hundreds of things that you can do. People are interested in getting some ideas. On the Waikato District Council website, we've got a climate action page, and at the bottom of the page, there's a load of resources and PDFs that you can download, you know, about how to green up your business and, you know, eco tips, things you can do to reduce your emissions, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and is this, I don't know, gives a, maybe an insight into your day-to-day kind of workings at your job there, Rachel. I mean, these things that come over your desk, you look at these and... How does it work?
I've actually worked at home, to be honest, for the majority of the time with the COVID restrictions, which is good because I can get more done. I'm based in Raglan and the offices in Ngarawa here, but I will be going in next week to reconnect with people. A day for me, it's incredibly broad and varied. I can be writing articles or reports. I can be, you know, reading the latest science and inspiration from people out there doing some great stuff, developing, you know, community education program, tracking our emissions, so understanding all the different emitting activities like wastewater, energy, travel, how we're tracking, you know, writing a roadmap to reduce those and setting targets. Lots of meetings, strategy planning. It's very, very varied. It's like every hour or something different, lots of emails to respond to, because it goes across all areas of the organization, as you can imagine. Very, very, really interesting role, and there's lots, a huge amount happening in the space, so I'm feeling hopeful.
Well, that's great. Anything else you kind of want to add? If people want to get a hold of, you know, learn a bit more about climate change and, you know, what they can do, do you want to run us through that page again on your website you were talking about?
Yeah, so on the Waikato District Council website, we have a web page called Climate Action, and there's a bit of information in the body of that. But if you scroll to the bottom, there's a lot of PDFs and resources that people can download. They're free, and they give you tips and ideas on, you know, how to live, I guess, more lightly, how to green up your business. Climate Change Explained, there's some fact sheets on that, and all the climate jargon, the know, people often say, what is CO2e, or what is, you know, what's the IPCC? So there's, all those things are explained in it, so people are happy to, you know, have a look and download and use what you like.
All right. Any other resources you can guide the listeners to, Rachel?
Well, it depends what they're interested in. If they're interested in, you know, the science and where we're tracking, the IPCC latest report's huge. That's pretty dense of the science, though. There's a lot of resources on the internet if you just tap in climate change in New Zealand and get a sense of what the government's doing as well. The emissions reduction plan is pretty comprehensive, and that's probably worth a look as well, because it sets a roadmap for how New Zealand will deliver on its targets to reducing the greenhouse gases, and it touches on all the different sectors. So that's definitely worth a look. But... there's masses of it. It's so topical. And it's funny, isn't it, how rapidly it's become key in all, you know, media. You know, maybe 20 years ago it really wasn't. We probably didn't understand enough then, but we certainly do now.
For sure.
I guess understanding half the battle of, you know, to action, I guess, to doing something about it.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, it's certainly topical now, and yeah. Well, I'm pleased the council's taking you on as you sound like the perfect person for the job anyway, Rachel. So go well. I hope it all works out all right.
Great. Yeah, you too, Craig. Take care.
All right. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show here on Regan Community Radio and Free FM. Rachel, really appreciate it, and we'll keep in touch.
Cool. Take care. Cheers.
All right. Thanks very much, Rachel. Cheers. Bye.